And now Tony Helland is Board Secretary for Dakota Rural Action. He joins us to urge voters to vote no on Constitutional Amendment Z. Tony, welcome. Thanks for being here.
I appreciate that, Lori.
So you see some problems with this constitutional amendment. Give us an idea why.
Well, when you look at the Constitutional Amendment Z, you really have to break down the difference in process that a constitutional amendment can come to the ballot. When we're talking about legislators making constitutional amendments to a ballot, they need to garner the support of a few dozen yay votes and pass the houses to get onto the ballot. Legislators aren't burdened by a limit on the number of those resolutions or bills that can be brought each year. So the number of tries to get something that far is limitless. It's just determined on how many yay votes they can get. Well, when you look at the process that it takes for a citizen or a group of citizens that see a problem with the Constitution to get something amended via initiated constitutional amendment, you need to get a ballot question committee together. You need to raise hundreds of thousands of dollars. You need to submit the language to the Legislative Research Council, the Secretary of State, the Attorney General. This could take 2 to 3 months. And then you need to mount multiple campaigns, one to get 40, 50,000 signatures on a petition to get that certified, to get on the ballot, and then mount an educational campaign to hopefully sway voters to get that passed. And that's for one constitutional amendment. And the problem that we see is that Constitutional Amendment Z would then break that down. If there's a single issue that touches on a few facets of the Constitution, this would force that ballot question committee, to break that down and go through that process 3-4 different times. And that's what we see as a real problem and a hindrance to South Dakota voters.
The fundraising, what is that for? You say you have to raise, you know, a good chunk of money before you even begin. Where does that money go?
I am sure it's to propel them through the battle to get it approved.
Sure.
Once it's on the ballot. Yeah.
So give me an example of when you think there should be issues that are combined, because some of the mm-hmm. examples we've heard have been very, you know, almost pork barrel kind of, you know, we're throwing something in to sort of sneak it under the voter's nose. But when do you think it's appropriate to have a constitutional amendment that does address more than one issue?
Well, I think we've seen that, I mean, here on in our ballot questions that we have on this ballot, Amendment W, that's the only voter-initiated constitutional amendment that we'll see. And it's a single issue if you look at it from the perspective of those who want that passed. But yes, it does touch on, I believe, three different subjects. And for that reason, if this were to pass, those would have to go through the same process that I outlined three different times to amend the Constitution in those places.
So if I'm gathering petitions and I'm for all the components of Amendment mm-hmm. W, can't I just have three different clipboards and stop and get all, you know, signatures at the same time?
That's one thing that had come up in a committee discussion while this was going through the legislature. And yes, that does seem like a great fix, but the logistics of it don't really pan out into reality. You know, you still have to go through all of that work and have separate ballot question committees and such. There are other issues with this amendment that we need to make known, and that's who's making the decision that these are actually going to be single subject. It's not going to be the voters, because that's going to be taken from them. It's going to be lawyers, opposition lawyers, and judges. And so instead of letting South Dakota voters make the determination on a packet of issues, though they are single subject or single issue, they can vote and say yes and have that passed, but then after it's passed, have that taken away by somebody who's going to challenge that single subject status on a constitutional amendment that is really a single issue that touches on certain subjects.
Are there times when, if you did separate the two issues, that if one passed and one didn't, mm-hmm. it would sort of, the policy itself would kind of fall apart? Do you see that some things are connected to the point where it's you know, it is all, you know, you don't want to say it's all or nothing, but mm-hmm. it really is?
Now, absolutely. To get the desired effect of a certain single issue constitutional amendment, you've got to look at multiple different subjects. And if one fails, it kind of does in a lot of the other work that the ballot question committee and those that are supportive of it we're trying to get towards.
Talk a little bit about the legacy of Initiated Measure 22 as we look at all this, because this was, you know, we spoke in our last segment about Marcy's Law and about the constitutional amendments for payday lending, but the cloud that's sort of hovering, or the elephant in the room, is really IM22,
that's right,
and the notion of direct democracy in general. What are you hearing from the people who support defeating Constitutional Amendment Z about overall efforts from lawmakers to sort of undermine, in their viewpoint, direct democracy?
Yeah, so when we think back to 2016 with the passage of IM22, and this was really the start of what would be a few difficult years when it comes to citizen direct democracy. That next legislative session, there was a repeal of that voter-approved IM22, and then an interim task force that was not asked for by the voters, but had 10 bills or pieces of legislation come out of it that would tweak many of them in not quite a satisfactory way when we're talking about protecting citizens' ability to take part in the process. But 10 pieces of legislation that went through the legislature, and one of which is going to be talked about today as well. And then the 2018 legislative session, when those were talked about, as well as many others, one of them is Constitutional Amendment Z. And so you can see that over the last couple of years, there's been a concerted effort by the legislature to kind of hamper down or hamstring citizens' right to be involved in and refer laws and make constitutional amendments via the ballot. And that's been very clear since the 2016 passage of IM22.
Tony Helland is Board Secretary for Dakota Rural Action. He joined us to urge voters to say no to Constitutional Amendment Z. Tony, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Laura.